And for Illinois, with a resounding 89-63 victory, they move on to the Sweet 16 for the first time since 2005.
The Drive, ESPN Radio 93.5. The Drive with Tay and Piper. Kyle Tosk sitting in for Derek Piper. We're okay with this. We're okay as long as Derek Piper is not here. And that doesn't mean we don't like Derek Piper. That just means you're finding Illini continue to win. Pipe's taking kind of a family day, if you will, to see the crew. And then he's back on his way to Boston this time tomorrow to cover the Illinois Sweet 16. How sweet that sounds. Sweet 16 game against number 2 seed Iowa State. The Illini, of course, the 3 seed. In the opposite bracket, you've got 5 seed San Diego State battling UConn, the 1 seed in the East. And boy, do they look everything like a 1 seed after they demolished Northwestern. But speaking of demolished, Kyle, how about the Fighting Illini coming out not only against Morehead State, where they basically put that game away in the second half after the Eagles played a pretty solid first half and even parts of the second half. This game the other night was not even close. It was one of those where the Illini just came out from the start. I know that's something that, what, for about the last 4 games with the 3 Big Ten tournament games and then the Morehead State game, it was kind of one of those, hey, are we going to get off to a good start one of these days? Well, they did on Saturday and absolutely rolled to a victory and finally a Sweet 16. They can update the stat, Kyle Tosk. It's one of my favorite things to say and one of my favorite things to do is update a stat. And the Illini, for the first time in what, 19 years? You said you were one.
I was 1 year old. When they I had just turned one the last time they advanced to the Sweet 16. I'm not sure I knew what a basketball was quite yet.
So. I doubt it. And, of course, that was the 2005 team that made it all the way to the championship game. So we'll see how this Illini team looks. You got to give them this, though. It was probably an A-plus or at least a solid A in the first 2 games of the NCAA tournament, dwindling it down to the Sweet 16. What'd you think, Kyle? I mean, this was this team Saturday, and I understand they were playing a higher seed or a lower seed or however you want to say it, but this team looked really good, and it was the kind of performance that I would sit there if I were another coach, let's say Iowa State, and say I don't want to face this team as well as they're playing right now, especially offensively.
Yeah, I think if that type of performance shows up for Illinois next weekend, it's going to be hard to beat them. And obviously you're going to go up against an Iowa State team who I can't wait to start talking about that matchup this week because it's such an intriguing contrast of styles. It's very rare that you get the best offense versus the best defense in the sport going at it. But, man, Illinois from the opening tip just controlled that game. And that's kind of what we talked about in the Morehead State game as well, is when you clearly have a talent advantage when it's a higher seed versus a lower seed, you need to throw that first punch and kind of not let that other team stick around. And it felt like Illinois just demoralized Duquesne like 5 minutes into the game. And Duquesne was never really able to recover. And it just, you could tell that there was a disparity there in the talent on the floor. And there should be.
Sure.
But Illinois put together a full 40 minutes, both ends of the floor as well. I mean, obviously Duquesne's not some offensive firepower team, but I thought Illinois played really well on the defensive end. And then obviously the offense continues to just absolutely dominate. And it's going to be one that I'm sure TJ Otzelberger and the Cyclones are going to have a hard time preparing for, even as great as they are defensively, because when you got Terrence Shannon and Marcus DeMass combining for 52, which it seems like they're doing almost nightly now, this team is really dangerous.
What's amazing is, of course, the 89-63 win when Illinois had a 30-point lead in that game against Duquesne. What's amazing is that Illinois, if they would somehow find their way to the Final Four, and again, they've got two really tough opponents ahead with Iowa State and then, of course, either UConn or San Diego State, who incidentally met for the national title, right, last season.
Yeah.
I'm sure if you're San Diego State, you're like, really? We got to run into these guys again? And maybe UConn's saying the same thing. But this Illinois team, if they would make it, Kyle, to the Final Four, they would have 30 victories on the year. Just imagine that. That is a really good total. I can remember, and it still is impressive if you get 20 wins in a season, especially when you're playing in a Power 5 conference like the Big Ten. But to somehow get to 30 wins, that would be a crazy feat that doesn't happen very often, obviously, for many teams, any team, to be honest with you, let alone the Fighting Illini in the Big Ten. But yeah, they were just outstanding. Terrence Shannon just came out. And, you know, you say Illinois got off to a good start. It was actually Terrence Shannon just got off to a good start. And everybody
Coleman
else,
Hawkins as well,
yeah,
though.
Yeah,
he got hot there early. I thought that was huge. That
Agree.
Was his two threes there to force that Duquesne timeout about 8 minutes in really kind of was like, all right, this one might get ugly pretty quick.
You kind of knew it was your night a little bit when Coleman threw the ball up and just basically bounced it off the backboard and then grabbed his own rebound and scored. It was a headsy play, I mean, by a senior and a guy that kind of, I think, knew what he was doing in that predicament. But the idea that, Coleman snapped off a couple of quick threes, everybody's shooting the ball pretty well. And like you said, Marcus DeMass then kind of took over in that game after a triple-double, of course, in the first game against Morehead State, only the 10th in the NCAA tournament history. So it's amazing. And now you got an Iowa State team who, speaking of 30, they need one more win to reach the 30-win plateau. They are 29-7. They take down Washington State, the 7th seed. Iowa State won that one 67-56 in a game that I didn't watch a lot of that game. But, yeah, you're right. In terms of defense, this is an Iowa State team that is, in by KenPom ratings, they're number one in the country in adjusted defensive efficiency, whereas Illinois is number one in offensive adjusted efficiency. Now, Kyle, we always hear that defense wins games, defense wins championships. Well, this isn't a championship game, but who wins? I mean, if both teams are playing at full tilt, I just don't know how you stop Illinois and hold them like Washington State had 56 points. I can't imagine Illinois having under 70 points in this game. I mean, they've been routinely getting to 80-plus, high 80s, and even into the 90s in the Big Ten tournament. I just don't see a team right now slowing Illinois down as much as you need to, but I guess if there's one out there, it is the Cyclones of Iowa State.
Yeah, it's going to pretty much come down to if – this game gets into the 70s or 80s, I think Illinois is going to win. And if Iowa State can keep it in the 60s, I think they're probably going to be in good shape there. But I just think, especially when you have two individual scorers who are playing the way that Terrence Shannon and Marcus DeMask are playing, even if Iowa State, like, they're so predicated on just, like, pressuring you, taking you out of what you want to do, not letting you get into your sets. And you know what? If there's a one-on-one matchup with 8 on the shot clock and it's Marcus DeMask one-on-one with a smaller guy, like, Illinois might win that matchup more often than not. Like, I just think over the course of a 40-minute game, if both teams are playing their best, I think good offense can beat good defense in a one-game sample size. And it's just, it's going to be tough for Iowa State to control the way Illinois is playing right now and to find an answer for both those guys if they show up. Plus, if you get Coleman Hawkins making shots.
Right.
Plus, if you get Quincy Guerrier crashing the offensive glass like he did. Plus, if you get Luke Goody coming off the bench making shots. Like, this Illinois team is playing really well right now, and they're getting a lot of contributions from more so than even just the two guys who have been so dominant.
I think it's all hands on deck, right? I mean, I know you're mentioning Shannon and DeMask, and certainly what they've done is incredible, but you're going to need another layer or two for Illinois to score at this, because
I didn't even mention Dane Danger,
who
hasn't missed a shot yet in the tournament. He's 13 for 13.
I mean, if you're Iowa State right now, you're like, well, hold on a second. Now, all of a sudden, in the last four or five games, here comes this Dane Danger guy that looks like an All-American center. With what he's doing, able to run the court, he's not missing, as you mentioned, 9 for 9 in the first game. I don't recall what he shot against.
4 for 4.
Is it 4 for 4? Yep. So I think his only blemish the entire tournament was a free throw against Morehead State. That is what Dane Danger has been able to give you. And, of course, this is an Illinois team that has struggled a little bit defensively during the year, right? They were really good early on, and then they really dropped. They took a major drop in the country and fell all the way down in the efficiency chart for defense. But you've got to think the idea that Illinois' defense will be good enough to keep Iowa State from rolling to too much. I'm not sure what Iowa State's high is in terms of scoring, but I know they've kept a lot of teams low. And I know that that was one thing that a Kane guard said coming into the game. I think it was the guard saying, well, look, if we can hold them around 60, then I think we're going to be in good shape. Well, Illinois scored 89.
I retweeted that after Illinois hit 70 with 12 minutes to go. I'm like, yep, that dream's already dead. We got 12 minutes left.
So they basically scored 30 more than what they were hoping to control them with. And I don't know, Kyle. I know we're going to have Derek Piper on here in a moment. And I'm anxious to get his thoughts not only on this Illinois team and the way they're playing, but also on Duquesne. The way Illinois is playing right now, it may take a power like UConn to stop them. That's the way I kind of thought. And I, again, you're playing a 14, then you're playing an 11. Right. That's a little bit of a break. There's no doubt. Marquette's the team getting the real break. Right now they get NC State. They will have possibly made the Elite Eight without playing a team in the single digits in terms of seeding, but that's the way the tournament rolls, and sometimes you're fortunate, sometimes you're not. Illinois certainly has been fortunate to this point as Duquesne upset BYU, and then Illinois took down Duquesne. I can't imagine BYU would have given you much more of a effort as well in this game. It was just amazing the way Illinois looks. 50 points in the first half for a team that had struggled early in games for a handful of games. The Illini just come out and score 50 in the first half. Then they outscore Duquesne only 39-37 in the second half. But look, when you're up 30, it's hard to kind of keep the pedal to the metal like you're hoping to do in that game. But it's an amazing thing. And to look at it kind of from the big perspective, Kyle, instead of breaking down Iowa State, which we'll do some more this week, plus we'll talk to Derek Piper coming up here in a moment, we'll try to get someone from Iowa State on to kind of explain that squad either tomorrow or Wednesday and get a better view of what the Cyclones will offer when that game rolls around Thursday. It's the late game Thursday, so probably around a 9 o'clock tip on Thursday night. But when you look at just the overall view of updating that stat to the Sweet 16, you saw the excitement with these guys. You also saw the idea that they want more. And it was kind of, Kyle, like you and I talked about last week, the idea that this team is talented enough to make the Sweet 16, but I think they're talented enough to do more. I think, and I've said this over and over, I think last year's team, if they would have made the Sweet 16, anything after that is gravy. I'm now on board with the idea that this team can make the Elite Eight, and then anything after that is gravy because of who you're going to face.
Yes.
Unless San Diego State has some huge victory over UConn, I just think it's going to take everything you've got to beat a UConn team to get to a Final Four. So I think an Elite Eight and anything else is just gravy for me with regards to this Illinois team. But you saw the excitement in Brad Underwood coming in with the water gun and just absolutely having fun with this squad. I loved his interview after on the court. I think you could just see how relaxed, and he's been relaxed all season. And a lot of that is because of the older veterans that he has on this team, the guys that have been there and done that, if you will, although a lot hadn't really done it in the NCAA tournament. You know, obviously, Marcus Damask had never played in an NCAA tournament. Justin Harmon, I don't think, had ever played in an NCAA tournament. I know Justin hasn't really done much of late. Dane Danger, of course, had played, you know, before Coleman Hawkins, but certainly not deep into a tournament.
Shannon and Gary are the only two that have been past the first weekend.
Is that right? So now you've got those two kind of leading you, and the rest are like, hey, you know what? Now it's just another game. We're into the Sweet 16, and let's see what happens against Iowa State. But you saw that joy that Brad Underwood, and he said, this is for the fans. This is for the fans, but you know damn well, Kyle, that was for him, because that's the one thing he's not been able to accomplish at Illinois is postseason success in March. So Brad Underwood can sit there and tell you it was for the fans, it was for his players. He can say all of that. I guarantee you he took a deep breath at some point Saturday and said, man, that feels good to finally get through and bust into the Sweet 16. Plus, he knows this team is still capable of more.
No question. No question. It just feels so great because we know how much Brad Underwood has done for this program and the fact that he's completely turned this thing around from when he got here. We always hear the stat that he's won the most Big Ten games the last 5 years. He's produced, what, Terrence Shannon now being an All-American means he's had All-Americans 3 of the last 4 years. Wow. He has 3 banners. Just everything that he's done to completely turn this program around has been remarkable, except that one box that he hadn't checked yet.
Yep.
And it's one that was just hanging over him. And even throughout the regular season success, and even throughout everything that he had accomplished in the regular season, you heard all the comments that were like, well, he's going to lose early in March again. Well, can he win? Can he get to the second weekend of the tournament? Now he can finally, you know, breathe easy and check that box off. And obviously, like you said, I think this team's capable of more.
Yes.
And I think that they should have a very good chance to beat this Iowa State team on Thursday night. But there's no question that this Sweet 16 marker that had been so elusive for this program feels just a little bit bigger than it would another program or another coach who's been there before. Just getting that monkey off your back and saying that you can – finally being able to say that you've been there and have gotten there throughout everything else that he's done over the 7 years he's been at Illinois is definitely feels great. And you could tell even on the sideline with like a minute and a half to go, once Illinois was starting to dribble it out, you could just see he had a huge smile on his face and was pumping the crowd up. Like it meant something to him, even if he will tell you that it's just another game.
No doubt.
It for sure meant something to him.
Everybody, texting in on the U of I Line and Lake text line. We will get to your texts. I want to make sure to get to those. I also want to ask you how good you feeling now? How good are you feeling in this next matchup with Iowa State? Again, you've been pretty fortunate. You got a 14-11. I don't think it mattered who you threw at Illinois with regards to a 6 seed or worse in those first two games. I think Illinois was going to be exactly where they're at now. And now a chance to battle Iowa State. It's also interesting, obviously, Auburn getting beat, but it's interesting how this East has pretty much gone chalk. And they said
the
coming
whole
in.
The tournament has pretty
it really
much
has.
Gone chalk.
It really has. But they talked about how good this East region is, and here you are with the 1, the 2, the 3, and then, of course, the 5. And we're okay with Bruce Pearl getting beat.
Oh, yeah.
I think everybody around here was okay with that. So
that lefty from Yale putting 28 on Bruce Pearl and knocking him out is pretty nice.
Text in at 217-359-2255. That's 359-2255. Let us know how not only you're feeling now, but how you feeling going up against Iowa State. We'll get to UConn. We'll worry about them later. There's another accomplishment you got to get to the Huskies, who really, truly look like the team that's going to win this title. They look absolutely dominant. Of course, Purdue would have they'd want to have something to say to that. So would Houston, obviously, in that regard. But
that Houston game was crazy
last night. Oh, my goodness. I mean, and Purdue looks good. They've looked really good, getting over 100 points in their second-round matchup. But this UConn team, that tall guy, what's his name?
Donovan Klingon.
Klingon. I mean, he's Zach Edey, 2. He's 7'2", and he does a lot of things, and he can run the court. I mean, he's really, really good. So let's get to your thoughts at 359-2255. We'll do that before we're out of here. Kyle was able to put down some postgame from Brad Underwood and the players. We'll hear their joy as we go along. I thought one thing was funny, and I want to get to it real quick. On the U of I Line and Lake text line, a 309 said, my cat is older than Kyle, but he's great on the air. Go Illinois. Is he talking about the cat? Maybe the cat's good on the air. No, I'm kidding, Kyle. I'm just giving you grief. Yes, Kyle does a wonderful job, and yes, he is young. His cat is older. His cat has experienced 2 Sweet 16s as well. That's nothing wrong. I'm sure for the animals in the house, they're pretty happy when the owner is happy that Illinois won. There's no doubt. All right, we'll take a quick break, get Derek Piper on, get his thoughts from Omaha, and then what he's looking forward to in Beantown. We'll do all that next. First, I want to tell you about Busey's Money Manager, part of the online and mobile e-banking platforms. It's a tool that allows you to visualize and better understand your finances through a variety of features, such as cash flow. Money Manager provides a visualization of spending and income trends, allowing you to better manage your finances on a daily to 90-day view. It'll tell you where you're spending your money, and you might not want to know. So that's a great thing to find out and maybe put yourself in place. Spending Donut. Well, the mobile-friendly interactive spending wheel shows spending by percentage and total amount in designated categories over a 1 week to 6 month view. So this thing will help you right now, or it'll help you over a certain time. You can also track your net worth, retirement planning, and overall wealth management in one place. The feature allows you to visualize all your assets in one spot and track net worth over a monthly to yearly view. That would be really neat. At Busey, they're proud to offer convenient digital banking platforms that enhance customers' user experience. Visit Busey.com today to get started. That is Busey, member FDIC. Derek Piper next.
Have you ever wondered why you pay your bank to have a checking account with them? We do too. At Fisher National Bank, we offer free checking accounts that reward you to bank with us. Our Rewards Cash Back Checking offers 2.02% cash back on debit card purchases up to $500 monthly. No service fees or balance requirements needed to earn rewards. For a free checking account that pays you back, simply make 12 debit card purchases, receive electronic statements, and have one direct deposit within a monthly cycle. It's so simple. We bet you're doing most of these things already. With Rewards Cash Back Checking, you have access to Reward Saver, which earns 4.07 annual percentage yield on balances up to $20,000. Reward yourself with free Rewards Cash Back Checking and Reward Saver, a few of the many ways Fisher National Bank invests in our customers. See monthly requirements at any branch or fishernational.com. Fisher National Bank. Exceptional communities. Exceptional people. Member FDIC.
He's part of the law firm, football star Keith Randolph, on why he chose to live at Pacifica on Green.
One, it's close to everything. They have the best landlord in Champaign. Well, Lisa's like, she's like the mother of the apartment building. And it's really nice. It's brand new, nicely furnished. You know, everything's just nice. I mean, at least check it out. You know, the rents are very reasonable. There's a lot of additions into it. There's a game room, coffee room, yoga room. It's everything you want.
Visit PacificaOnGreen.com.
In an ever-changing real estate market, it is so important to work with experienced agents like Russ and Nick Taylor with the Taylor teams at Taylor Realty Associates. They have the knowledge and expertise to get your home sold for the most amount of money in the shortest amount of time. Trust the experience and success of Russ and Nick Taylor with the Taylor team at Taylor Realty Associates. Give them a call today at 217-355-0700 or visit them online at taylorboys.com. That's taylorboys.com.
With the leaves and temperatures beginning to fall, it's time to make sure those furnaces are in great running order. Get that furnace tuned up so it doesn't let you down on the cold nights. Dogtown is the people's choice number one HVAC company again in 2023. Ask about the current 0% financing offer on all Lennox high comfort systems and single component units for qualifying applicants. The number's 217-841-4728. Dogtown Heating, Air, and Plumbing, your home's best friend.
When it comes to finding a reliable vehicle, look no further than Sarah Champagne, your trusted automotive destination. They carry a lineup of top brands, including Honda, BMW, Subaru, GMC, and Buick. And they're not just about cars. They're about people. Their team is dedicated to providing you with trustworthy service and dependable vehicles that fit your lifestyle. Experience the difference at Sarah Champagne. Visit Sarah, S-E-R-R-A, Champagne.com.
Hi, I'm Tyler Weaver, president of Carpet Weaver's Flooring and Furniture Gallery. Take a look around your home. Is it finally ready for some much-needed updates? If you don't know where to start, then just meet with one of our experts. We'll help you find the perfect waterproof plank floor for your kitchen or that stain-resistant, super-soft carpet for your bedroom. Finish your room update with a custom sofa and chairs, or choose a trendy in-stock dining set that's priced right. Come home to Carpet Weaver's, where floors, furniture, and family meet.
Frankie at the gym says, "Do you even lift, bro?" Frankie at the Champaign County Humane Society doesn't care how much you lift. He just wants to lay on the couch with you and watch reruns of The Office. Carol in accounting will probably judge you for heating up your leftovers in the office microwave and stinking up the entire break room. Carol at the Champaign County Humane Society doesn't care what you eat, just as long as you scratch that one spot right under her chin. Carol the cat and Frankie the dog are just a few of the adoptable pets looking for their forever homes at the Champaign County Humane Society. They won't judge you for the food you eat or your workout routine. They just want to shower you with all the love they have to give. As the only open admission animal shelter in our area, the Champaign County Humane Society takes in any animal despite their age or medical condition. Learn more about adopting a pet, volunteering your time, and donating to the cause at cuhumane.org. The Champaign County Humane Society, where your new best friend is waiting.
At ABC Heating and Air, it's our promise to help you always be comfortable. Do you need rescued because you're burning hot? Do you need rescued because your air is shot? Call ABC Heating and Air at 352-5400 and let us rescue you from the heat. ABC Heating and Air, 352-5400. Can't you see you need to call me at ABC? Call ABC Heating and Air. That's ABC Heating and Air, 352-5400.
In an ever-changing real estate market, it is so important to work with experienced agents like Russ and Nick Taylor with the Taylor teams at Taylor Realty Associates. They have the knowledge and expertise to get your home sold for the most amount of money in the shortest amount of time. Trust the experience and success of Russ and Nick Taylor with the Taylor team at Taylor Realty Associates. Give them a call today at 217-355-0700 or visit them online at taylorboys.com. That's taylorboys.com.
It is The Drive. The Drive with Tay and Piper. Lante, Kyle Tosk here in the studio in downtown Philo. But right now we're going to go to the Tapman's Towing phone line and welcome in that Piper guy, Derek Piper, who has a little bit of a cold. He sounds like a dad that was up feeding a baby all night. What's up, Pipes?
What's up, man? Yeah. I remember when we used to do the show together. It was a fun time. I hope to get back to that at some point. But a lot of people out there, and I'm glad too, to keep me busy through the middle of March and make me not be around the studio. So that means Illinois has more basketball to play, which they definitely do. And a quick stop at home and a flight to Boston tomorrow, and we're back at it.
We took a poll with all of our listeners, and they were absolutely fine with you not being here. You look at it how you want. You look at that how you want, Pipes, but I think they're talking about that means Illinois is winning. I kid, of course.
For sure.
It is nice to get that done in Omaha. I've said it, and this will be the last time I say it. You got a nice little break with playing a 14 and 11, but Derek, I don't think there is a seed from maybe four or worse that was going to compete with Illinois, especially Saturday. They looked incredible in that game.
They did, yeah. They were dialed in, and they're riding momentum for sure. Winners of six straight, and they're playing some really good ball. We saw that obviously late in the Big Ten tournament, that second half against Nebraska, and then that full game against Wisconsin. Just feel like they put things together where we know offensively what they're capable of, and Terrence is playing at just a ridiculous level and should be a first-round draft pick, maybe even a lottery pick if, of course, the legal situation plays out in his favor. But I don't know that there's anybody. I think you can have a legit conversation with your other half, him or Zach Edey, on your team in the tournament, which is crazy that's even a conversation that is legit to be had. So Marcus has been fantastic as a triple-double in the first game against Morehead State, and then shows up there in that one on Saturday against Duquesne. Coleman's hitting threes. Quincy's playing pretty well. Dane continues to do what he does. So you just hitting them from all angles, and Duquesne against a good BYU team, a team that people are complaining about as far as the net, and maybe got underseeded a little bit. Duquesne punked them and played pretty well and beat them, and then they didn't look like they belonged on the court against Illinois.
No.
So I'm with you. If it was BYU, I know it's a different matchup, a different challenge. They have a lot more offensive firepower than what Duquesne has, but I don't think anybody in that realm that you described was probably going to beat Illinois. And I just give them a lot of credit for how they, number one, it was the most complete performance that we've seen in a while. I mean, full 40 minutes, great start. Withstood it all the way throughout, although they played with pretty good defensive intensity too. And, you know, they didn't look like a team that was wearing too much pressure. I felt like they knew what the moment had in terms of the stakes and whatnot, but they weren't a team that was too tight and overly focused on, hey, this big streak that we got to break. So I thought Brad and the guys were in a good mindset and obviously playing great basketball, and they're hungry for more. That's another thing that I took away from talking to them after that.
What was the vibes like post-game? I know you got a chance to head into the locker room and see. You could just tell that the way Brad Underwood was kind of pumping the crowd up towards the end of the game, and we obviously saw the super soaker water gun video. What were you able to glean just post-game in the locker room, the mood of this team coming off obviously a big monumental milestone for this program?
Yeah, it was awesome. I think they understood how much that meant to the fans, and that's what you heard from Brad, that's what you heard from the players. And I don't know if Brad's being maybe entirely truthful, and I get it. I think that at the end of the season, he might open up a little bit more. I don't think he wants to show that, you know, he's exhaling, which I don't think he is, but, you know, he talked about, hey, that this is something that, as far as the monkey on my back and the pressure, that was maybe more put on him by the outside and something that he really thought about. But I would be surprised if that didn't mean extra to him, not only to get the program there, because we know, as we talked about, he's checked a lot of boxes of, you know, where this program's been back in the mid-2000s to now. There's a lot of parallels of this is the best window for Illinois basketball since then, and one of the big things that hasn't been checked is that trip to the Sweet 16. So he was finally able to do that. That has to mean something. And then for him, as a head coach, he's been in the tournament 8 times. This is the first time he's able to break through and get to that second weekend. So I'm sure that some of those emotions that he shows, where he's fist pumping and yelling towards the crowd, that he's feeling the reward of that. But I think he's also just knowing how much it meant to the fans. And those that were in attendance obviously were just smiling ear to ear, and he knew that, you know, people, whether it was people at home watching, alums of the program, you know, Steven Bardo pops into the locker room afterward, you can tell how fired up he was, and it's something, you know, there's a lot of pride with Illinois basketball, and there's been a long, long, long wait for Illinois to get back to this point, and, you know, I think that him understanding what that means, and to see the super soaker and whatnot, they know how to celebrate a win. That's great. But I will say that as soon as we got in there, so they did their thing, and Brad and a couple of the guys go to the podium, and then the reporters go in the locker room and talk to the guys. By the time we got in there, the guys were all talking about, hey, this is great, but Iowa State, we want more. This is not what we set out to do. Our goals at the beginning of the year, Big Ten title, Big Ten tournament title, Final Four. So we have to refocus, and I appreciate that about them, that there wasn't an exhale, there wasn't an over satisfaction with just getting the Sweet 16. They feel like they're capable of more, and they're ready to go get it.
Derek, I want to ask you more about that, the idea of what you and I talked about a couple of weeks ago, and Kyle and I spoke on it last week, the idea that this team was good enough to get through the Sweet 16. Don't get me that. No, don't get wrong there, but I think they're really, I don't think things are done, and I don't know that, in other words, my expectations feel like they should at least advance one more round, and then it's kind of gravy to me. But I want to ask you that here in a second. You just talked about how it would feel for Brad Underwood and the players. How about you? I mean, and I'm being serious here because, you know, people listen to us all the time, and we appreciate what they do. But, you know, they know your story. They know how you cover, and you spend a lot of times covering covering this Fighting Illini team. I was fortunate enough when I worked in the television business a couple of times to make a Sweet 16, even an Elite Eight, and how fun that was to cover a team like that. How about for you? Because it is fun for you guys. I know that you got to be a professional. You got to cover the team, and you can't necessarily worry if they win or lose. But when they win, your job continues, and it's even more fun because the players and the coaches are having a great time. So how was it for you? How was that feeling when the buzzer sounded and you knew that you were heading to Boston?
Yeah, it was great. Something you don't take for granted, for sure. You think back to the teams that you've covered in the past that, that are already well done in terms of their seasons, and you're sitting at home and wondering what it'd be like just to cover a tournament. So there was a lot of that in the early parts of Jeremy and I starting up in choir. And no doubt, you know, I'm from Champaign. I've followed this program my whole life. You know, it's a big reason why I wanted to go to Illinois, is because they were playing in the 05 team playing in the Final Four, and just having fantastic basketball teams and the environment at State Farm Center. So I don't take for granted the fact that me being this close to the program, that it feels like it's back to that. It's back to where there are big-time basketball games anytime they're at home, and there's sold-out environments, and they're playing for Big Ten titles, and now about to go cover a Sweet 16. So and then you know that the lights are a lot brighter when you're at the tournament, and nationally the people are talking about this program a little bit more, and it'll be probably a surreal feeling to get to Boston and know that it's a Sweet 16, and it's that last step before the Final Four. You know, you come out of that little pod of Illinois, Iowa State, UConn, and San Diego State. If you're the one that survives that, you're going to the Final Four. So that's really fun, and I had always, you know, heard the stories of you talking about the teams you covered and being at those regionals and all of that. And, I always wanted that for sure. So to soak that up is great. And there's no doubt that the fan base that we deal with on a daily basis in a better mood when this is happening, and the players are enjoying the ride too. So it makes all of our jobs a lot more enjoyable. And I, of course, appreciate the fan dynamic of it too. And, you know, my family is a big Illini family. My son, sure, and daughter got out in Illini gear back home. So even though I don't know that Haley is necessarily 100% bought into me being gone more, but she gets it. So she's a little conflicted. She's not rooting for Illinois to lose, but she is ready for me to be back full time. But hopefully it's two more weeks before we get there.
Yeah, I mean, Nelly's sitting there going, is that my dad or not? Because I kind of see him, and then I don't kind of see him, and then now I don't see him again, and I kid, of course. And really, what a tough time for you. Let's be honest. I mean, personally, that's a tough time for you with your daughter just being born, and now you're off and running. But, you know, sometimes life throws you things like that, and you make the best of it. And, of course, you've got a great partner with Haley that is making things happen back home. And, of course, Derek's still got to work. So before I forget, you need to set us up with a 247 guy with Iowa State. So just an FYI. We'll do some work on the air here as we go, but we'll certainly try to get that done either tomorrow or Wednesday. I go back to the question I asked you. I looked today, and I saw an article today that showed Illinois was the fourth highest, I guess, odds at plus 4,000 to make it to the Final Four, I believe is what the question or what the idea was. And it's kind of a little disrespect if you look at that, and teams like Iowa State are above you, and Duke, and some of these, Marquette, obviously Marquette beat you earlier this year, but not the way Illinois is playing right now. So when you look at this team, Derek, it's kind of the conversation that we've had the last couple of weeks. I feel like there's still one more round, and I know there's more, and believe me, I'm hoping for more, but I feel like there's one more round for this team to kind of show exactly how good they are, because I think they're that good to beat an Iowa State team and get to the Elite Eight.
Yeah, I agree with you. And it's going to be very interesting as you're going to see a contrast of elite offense against elite defense. You look on KenPom, as I know you do with your coffee every morning, number one offense in the country, Illinois, number one defense in the country, Iowa State. So something's got to give there. That's very fascinating as far as how that plays out. I know that kind of the old adage is that defense wins championships, but I think that there is something to be said in basketball in particular, and just the way that college basketball is right now, is that you can outscore people. You can have an offense that just is too much, even for really good defenses and the way that Terrence is right now. I don't know that he's a good matchup. I would say he's not for anybody out there. So
no.
We'll see how that goes. Iowa State, I give them a lot of respect. If you can punk Houston like they did in the Big Ten or the Big 12 tournament championship, that is worthy of a lot of respect. They're a better team, obviously, than Duquesne. You know, they're more athletic. They're going to have the ability to athletically, physically match up better with Illinois. They get on the glass. They got good guards that can actually do some things at the offensive end. So it might actually be, you know, which of the weaker sides of the ball is better between those two teams.
Right.
Is Illinois' defense going to be able to hold up, or is Iowa State's offense going to be able to keep pace at all with Illinois, even if their defense is pretty darn good? So I think that's a very fascinating matchup. I'm with you, though, with the way that Illinois is playing right now. I lean towards Illinois to beat them and to get to that Elite Eight. UConn's a monster. I wouldn't say that Illinois, on their best day, can't beat them, because when you have a Terrence Shannon and you have some of these other pieces, I think that's within the realm of possibility. But I think we also, and you probably, if you watched it yesterday against Northwestern, sometimes take for granted. We always talk about UConn offensively. They're a pretty darn good defense, too. They're top 10 in the country in defense, and they're just they're a wagon. They're a juggernaut, whatever you want to say. So, but just to have the opportunity, if only I can get to the Elite Eight and tip it up in Boston, I know there'll be a lot of UConn fans there. I'm sure Illinois would have a good turnout, and just to see where it goes, that would be something that everybody would be satisfied at that point with wherever it goes from
yes.
there. But I think that Illinois would have a real chance to get it done if they get there. But we'll see. Iowa State will be tough.
Do you anticipate that this week will look similar to last for this Illinois team? I don't know if you know much about just kind of the second weekend schedule, but it's a first. I mean, you haven't covered it yet.
Right.
So is there anything special in terms of how this team is going to prepare heading into Thursday? And also, how are you feeling about a 10-10 local tip-off?
Mm.
I'm sure as a new dad, you're used to not working on much sleep, but 10 p.m. Are you going to be able to make it?
I'll be good. I'm still young enough. You know, we got older people on the beat that are probably wouldn't like me calling them older people. But, yeah, I think that the adrenaline of just the opportunity to play the game at 3 in the morning, I think a lot of fans would be juiced and fine with that. And I'm good with it. I know that it makes for a late night of riding, but it's sleep in a little bit. We'll be getting late tomorrow night, Tuesday. So sleep in a little bit on Wednesday. Hopefully we'll see in terms of media how that goes. And as far as the lead up to it, I think that, yeah, I think similar to us, the team will probably arrive in Boston sometime tomorrow. I would imagine probably practice at Urban and then fly out to Boston. They'll have a media availability there on Wednesday in Boston, and then a shoot around that is usually open. And not that there's a lot to they really focus on there. It's usually just drills for people to see and then more of a fan event. So, and then Thursday, yeah, a late night one. It's weird. The NCAA, or it's really the TV. TV's making all these calls who they want in prime time and all of that. Like, in fact, they played the first games on Saturday. Salt Lake was like 10:30 local. The AM that they played those and had the Illinois game that late. It's fine. I'm not going to complain. I don't worry about this team being ready either. But it'll be a late one there on Thursday. But the party will go late into the night if Illinois gets that done for a lot of fans. And then what a huge one that would be on Saturday.
No, it'd be incredible. All right, Derek Piper, we will plan on visiting with you Wednesday at 4:30, just so everybody can kind of set their schedule to hear Derek again, because we want to get, or at least at some point on Wednesday, I'm sorry, it doesn't have to be 4:30, but at some point we'll get with you, get your thoughts from Boston, so everybody can kind of set their watch to that. The Pipes will be back on. Get some rest. Be safe going to Boston, my friend.
Will do, guys. Appreciate it. Hold it down, and thanks for not asking me any Cardinals questions. I am excited for baseball, but boy, that rotation is probably going to get things up pretty good there in LA. But yeah, focus on basketball, and it's an exciting time. So I'll talk to you Wednesday.
That's perfect. Thanks, Pipes. We appreciate it. Speaking of the Cardinals, and I know, was it Kyle that already sent it in? Cubs won, card zip. Cubs won 2-1, I think, today over the Cardinals.
They're playing right now.
Oh, they're up 2-1. Speaking of the Cardinals, now this is the ill-timed award of the year, but we will not be on Thursday. We will not have our show Thursday to kind of lead you up to Illini basketball that night because it is the St. Louis Cardinal opener. Now they're on the road against the Dodgers. How about the Cardinals starting in L.A. against the Dodgers while the Cubs play the Rangers? I mean, good Lord. It's like, hey, let's throw these two teams the sacrificial lamb. But that's what you got. So you will be hearing Cardinals baseball Thursday instead of us. And that, of course, is something when we made the contract with the Cardinals years ago, that was the agreement that we would never we would never overtake them and not play their game. So obviously you'll be hearing the opener from LA on Thursday. You won't get us, but we will be here tomorrow and Wednesday and on Good Friday. On Friday, I believe. I got to talk to Kyle about that, but we're kind of doing this on the air. But that will be the plan going forward for this week. So just as a reminder, we will not be on Thursday. Now, you had mentioned to Derek Piper about a 10-10 start, and in case it confused anyone, because it did me a little bit, that is actually about a 9-10 Central start.
But, I meant local time for in
him,
Boston.
For him, it's going to be 10 o'clock at night. Now, I don't worry about the young kids, the athletes that are playing. I mean, come on. They're going to be wide awake at that time. Maybe Brad might need an afternoon nap for that one, but certainly.
Sure Brad's had his fair share of late nights as a Division I college basketball head coach.
Oh, yeah. He's exactly, and maybe having a cold one on a late night as well.
It doesn't have to be because he's a coach either.
That's right. That's exactly right. But, yeah, Illinois will play those games, by the way, that night on Thursday, the West region, which is number one North Carolina against Alabama, and then Clemson, the sixth seed, against number two Arizona. The Arizona game will lead that off on Thursday on CBS, followed by that Carolina-Alabama game on CBS. The Illini game, followed by the UConn-San Diego State game, will be on TBS/True TV. So just for everybody out there getting their stuff in order, the first game of the night will be UConn and San Diego State. Again, a rematch of last year's national title game in which UConn won. That game tips about 6:39 our time on Thursday on TBS and True TV, and then Illinois will battle Iowa State following that. Usually it's about 30 minutes, 25 to 30 minutes following the conclusion of the game. They're kind of banking around 9:10, let's say. It's usually a little bit later.
Probably be like 9:30 based on the fact that the first game will have 19 monitor reviews in the last minute, because that seems to be what we love to do in college basketball now, is head on over to the monitor and review everything.
Yeah, unless UConn's up 20.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Although they'll still go to the monitor and review an out-of-bounds call, even though it's a 28-point game.
And when they do that, they're going to take a quick commercial.
Do we need to do this?
No, not yet. I'm still not fired up for that. And then, of course, Friday will be four more games. You'll get an NC State Marquette matchup on CBS on Friday about 6:09. And then, shocking, Duke is going to be on CBS. I know that's hard to believe for everybody out there. They will face number one Houston. Really, if we just get Duke out of here, we've gotten Bruce Pearl out. We've gotten Duke out, as I like to call him, Puke. So we'll be doing our thing as long as they win. Houston, that is, wins Friday.
I wouldn't mind getting Purdue out.
No, yeah. And then in the Midwest, you've got Purdue, the one seed. That will start that region on TBS True TV on Friday. Purdue and Gonzaga. Gonzaga's playing good basketball.
That's going to be fun. This whole region is going to be fun.
I agree. I agree. And then, of course, following that, number two, Tennessee, and number three, Creighton. You had Tennessee winning. I had Creighton winning.
That's right.
So it comes down to that game maybe for Kyle and I in our brackets going forward. But that'll be a great – I look for – that is probably – besides Illinois, if you took Illinois out, I think the game that I'm looking more forward to than anything is Tennessee and Creighton. Followed by probably Houston, Duke, and then Purdue and Gonzaga. Those would be the games that I'm really looking forward to. Obviously, minus Illinois, which we're definitely looking forward to on that end. So it's going to be fun, man. It's Sweet 16. You got another week, like I mentioned last week, Kyle. when your team makes it first through that first week now, or that first weekend, now you've got another week as a fan essentially to kind of revel in it, have some fun, hear some national news about your team. Of course, the stories have already started coming out in USA Today and everything about Terrence Shannon. I knew that was what they're just waiting to print those, but certainly. It's a time where Illinois can get its name out there nationally as one of the final 16 teams.
This is foreign territory for me talking about college basketball this week. Normally, I'd be looking ahead to
baseball.
The Cubs starting up against the Rangers. It'd actually be kind of a great day on Thursday, though, for the Cardinals fans out there. Their first pitch, what, 3 o'clock?
3 o'clock.
Leading right into the night college hoops action. For Cubs fans, I know they play that night ESPN opener in Texas.
Wow.
6:35 first pitch,
so that really leads right
you right into the tip off of Illinois Iowa State. So it shapes up to be a pretty awesome Thursday.
Good. I'll be able to watch the Cardinals beat the Dodgers, the Rangers hammer the Cubs, and then the Illini to hammer Iowa State. That would be my perfect
Yoshinobu Thursday. Yamamoto versus Miles Michaelis on Thursday.
Didn't Yoshi just get hammered by the Padres?
He did. That's true. Actually, he might not even be the starter. I don't know.
They might change gear there. Lance Lynn will start the opener for the Cardinals when it comes to the Busch Stadium opener. They're going to save the veteran for Busch Stadium. How about the Cubs? Who will they start opening day? And then who do we know if they're starting at home? Are they starting at home or are they
They're in Texas.
They're in
so it'll be okay. Justin Steele on Thursday on opening day. And then it'll be Shota Imanaga
okay.
for the home opener against Colorado on Monday.
Gotcha. We got to learn some new pitchers in the National League this season coming over from, what would that be, East? Is that East? Is Japan East? No, they're West.
You can go either way.
I guess you could go either way, but I think they're more focused on the West.
Right.
Past Hawaii. So we'll be learning all that this week as we go along. All right, next hour we'll hear some post-game from the Fighting Illini, Brad Underwood. Also, some of the players get their take on what they were able to do to get past the Sweet 16 and – or I'm sorry, to get to the Sweet 16. Maybe I'm putting myself ahead of things here – to get to a Sweet 16 battle against Iowa State. We'll do that all next hour. It is The Drive.
Don't miss out when Ancient Aliens Live lands in a town near you. The Out of This World Tour continues with 15 new dates announced across the country. Hear from the experts of Ancient Aliens live and in person.
All of you are on this journey with all of us together.
Get your tickets now at ancientalienslivetour.com.
Ancient Aliens Live, Project Earth, lands in the Virginia Theater Friday, March 29th. Tickets on sale now at thevirginia.org.
This is Eddie Clare, president of Paul's. Are you looking for a career and not just a job? Paul's is looking for experienced fabricators and millwrights to join our team on both first and second shifts. We have a great benefit package, including 2 weeks of paid vacation from day one, a company bonus, health, vision, dental for you and for your family, a 401k with a match. We also offer tuition reimbursement and on-the-job training programs for less experienced fabricators and millwrights. Let Paul's create big possibilities for you, your career, and your life. Apply online at PaulsMachine.com.
Hi, this is Steve from Good Vibes.
And I'm Luke Goody from your men's basketball team. Steve, I have a question.
Shoot!
We've talked about Sony, but I know you have LG and Samsung too. Aren't they all kind of the same?
That's a tough one. Samsung is famous for their bright, colorful picture and the frame TV.
They look like art, right? What about LG?
Okay, Sony invented OLED, but LG perfected OLED manufacturing. That efficiency makes LG the number one selling OLED TV in the country, and their build quality is excellent.
Yeah, they're really flat too. So, why Sony?
Sony makes movies, cameras, monitors. Accurate image is crucial. Colors, skin tones, contrast, motion handling are just some of what Sony does better. Sony buys panels from Samsung and LG and improves them with their own video processing.
Wait, a Sony might have an LG screen?
Yeah, or even Samsung. You've heard how a great coach can take your team and beat his?
I get it. Sony can use other guys' parts and still make a winning product?
All to get that red hair just the right shade and no blur on the swish.